Good morning, church. I'm so excited to have you again on this beautiful Sunday morning, right in the middle of winter. And I'm sure you're at home and you're snuggled in under your blankets. And may the Lord speak to you this morning as we get into the Word. Let us go straight to the Word this morning. I'm so excited and I'm looking forward to sharing this Word with each one of you this morning. And may your heart be open to hear what God is about to say. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And Jehovah said to Abram, "Go out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Verse 3. "And I will bless those that bless you, and curse the one who curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." And Abram departed even as Jehovah had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Why don't you open your hands with me and pray and ask the Lord to speak to you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the entrance of your word. We thank you for the preaching of this word this morning. We submit ourselves to the authority of the word. And we pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would reveal to us what's on your heart for us this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. A few months ago, I took my child, who is 6 years old, for a teeth extraction. Yeah, a teeth extraction. His new teeth were giving him some grief, and his doctor recommended an extraction of the milk teeth. Under general aesthetic, so he was going to be dosed out and we were going to pull out these milk teeth. And by 6 a.m., we were there in the waiting room with a number of other parents with their little ones. It was a children's hospital. And you could see that the room was charged with emotions. The parents were trying to calm down their children. Those were being prepped up by the nurses for the theater room. You know that awkward situation where the helper is more nervous than the one being helped? I could look at the parents. They were all nervous and the kids were just running around. And those who were a bit old, you could see they were a bit pensive in the process. This past week, I was brought back to that moment in the waiting room. And the Lord started speaking to me and he said, laying things on my heart around that whole situation in the waiting room. You see, if you've been to the waiting room, you'll agree with me that the waiting room at the hospital is charged with all sorts of emotions. The waiting room is not an easy area to go to. I mean, the truth of the matter is, if you're okay, or if everything is fine with everyone around you, you don't need to go to a waiting room. The reason why you find yourself in a waiting room, it is because something has gone wrong with you or with somebody close to you. You see, in the waiting room, you find emotions like anxiety, trepidation, where people are anxious about what's about to happen to them. Because in the waiting room, you'll find all sorts of situations. You'll find people who are struggling with migraine headaches. You're finding people who are on crutches. You find people on wheelchairs. You see, in the waiting room, you'd find that there are emotions like fear that kicks in. Fear kicks in the people who are in the waiting room because you are afraid of the unknown. You don't know if you will come out of the theater the same person or something different would have happened to you if you're waiting to go into theater. You see, in the waiting room, you'd find that there is panic. You're sometimes in the waiting room because your doctor has called you to come in to explain to you the results of your blood tests. And you know, if your doctor calls you in and he doesn't explain on the phone, something is not really right there, and he's probably going to drop a bombshell on you. So if you're in the waiting room and you're about to go in to see your doctor to give you your results, some level of panic is around you. In the waiting room, you find that there are people who are pacing up and down. They are impatient because they are waiting for their loved one who's gone in to see the doctor. And they seem to be taking longer and longer, and they're wondering what exactly is happening in there. And so there are levels of impatience that kicks in when you are in the waiting room. Maybe you're in the waiting room because you've got this issue with your stomach. And you're angry because you're asking yourself, why me? Why me right now at this point in time? People get angry the moment they are hit with sickness because they ask themselves, what wrong have I done to deserve this kind of ailment in my life? Now, you'll agree with me that the analogy of a waiting room pretty much paints the picture of our life's journeys. The waiting room and everything that goes on in the waiting room is really a picture of what happens in our lives as we go from one stage of life to the other. Now, this brings me to the title of our brand new series. And for the coming 6 to 7 weeks, we're going to dive into this series titled In the Waiting. We're going to be dealing with this topic titled In the Waiting. Raise your hand if you've never found yourself in the waiting. If you've never found yourself in the waiting room, so to speak. Well, maybe the last time you were in the waiting was when you were waiting to get an answer after you have proposed to your girlfriend. You know how it is in churches. Some sisters are really spiritual. They take 3 months to get back to you, whether they are interested in going on a date with you. Very, very interesting. I thank God. My wife took a couple of weeks, maybe 3-4 weeks. It wasn't that long. But you see, maybe you waited. The only time you waited was when you were waiting for that answer. Now, a lot of things happen in the waiting. A lot of things happen in the waiting. Now, you need to understand that what you do in the waiting determines the outcome of your waiting. It determines whether what you're going into is going to benefit you or it's not going to benefit you. Because a lot of people suffer in the waiting, to the point that by the time they get over the waiting, they are so messed up that they will not enjoy what they are waiting for. So what am I saying this morning? What you do in the waiting determines the outcome of your waiting. Determines the outcome of your waiting. Let's go to Psalm 27, verse 13. I love this portion of scriptures in the New King James Version. The writer says, I would have lost heart. Other version says, I would have been discouraged unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And this is so relevant to where we are today. You will be discouraged unless you believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Given our current circumstances, given what we are going through around this coronavirus, a lot of people have lost jobs. A lot of people are losing their homes. They're losing their cars because money hasn't come through and they're not able to pay their bills. Now, you need to come to this place where you say, I know that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and because of that, I will not grow tired. And so here he says, I would have lost heart. I don't know, are you at that place where you have lost heart because you have waited longer than you thought you would? Now he says here, unless I had believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. This is it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You've got to understand that the issue of waiting will come to you at some point. The issue of waiting has been in my life. I will experience some of it as I grow older in the Lord. Because if you've been on a journey with God, you'll understand that there is a thing called in the waiting. There is a thing called in the waiting. Unfortunately, a lot of believers are not prepared for this thing called in the waiting. They are not prepared to be in the waiting room as they wait for their results, as they wait for their medication. Listen, there is tension that exists in the waiting. There is great tension that happens, that goes on in the waiting. When the tension happens because on one hand, you've got the promise of God. God has given you great and marvelous promises through His Word. He has given you prophetic words about your future. And then on the other hand, there is the fulfillment of that promise. And the gap between the promise and when it becomes a reality, there is a lot of tension there. There is a lot of tension. For some, the waiting takes a lifetime. For some, the waiting is a year. For some, it is 6 months. And I want to ask you a question. How long have you been waiting for? How long have you been on that bus stop waiting for your bus? You know your bus is going to come, but you're waiting and waiting and waiting. And you're going to wait again. Now, the tension that you are experiencing right now, maybe it's not so much because of where you are. It's not so much because of your own issues. It is because of the environment where you find yourself in. Do you know that we find ourselves in a should-be environment where people come to you and they say, at this time, you should be at this level of your career. People will come to you and they say, at this time, you should be having 3 children. At this time, you should have been married. Maybe it is an issue of people asking you the question, when are you getting married? And Bazalwane, Bazex, they do ask that question so many times. So when are you getting married? Or maybe you're married and it's now 3 years into your marriage, they come to you. So when is the first one coming? When is the first one coming? Or maybe you've just planted a church. Do you know that as a pastor, one of the most popular questions you experience is, so, how many are you in your church? How many are you in your church? Or how many are you pulling? How many are you pulling these days? I'm talking about the tension. God has called you to plant a church, but 6 years into the church plant, you only have got 20 people. And that can create this great level of tension in your life where communities around you, when your friends, they seem to be starting churches and they bloom up and they've got hundreds of people in 3-4 months. And they come to you, what do you do for a living? As if you, the value of your life is attached to what you do for a living. I have seen mothers who are doing a great job looking after their children, being put under pressure by society because there's an expectation for you to have been something in your life other than looking after children. And because of that, there's so much pressure around executive household mothers, great moms who are looking after their children. What am I saying today? The great tension that you're experiencing right now is part and parcel of walking through the promises of God in your life. Let's talk about that moment when you discovered that you are with child. Let's talk about that moment you did the pregnancy test and wow, the baby is there, you've conceived, and by God's grace, you are with child. And I want you to realize that from the time of conception to the time of holding your baby, it is a waiting time. You find yourself in the waiting from the time of conception until the 9 months have gone through. Do you know that there's no amount of praying that will quicken the 9 months? There is no amount of praying that will bring out the baby at 2 months and you're expecting a full-term baby at 2 months. No, it doesn't work like that. You see, in that moment of conception, you have a person growing inside of you, but you can't hold them. You can't see them. Yes, you can try to talk to them, but it's not the same. The reality of the matter is, the moment you fall pregnant, your life changes the way you have known it before. They start telling you can't drink certain substances. You can't smoke. They start telling you that you can't take certain medications. Why? Because you are with child. There is this little one growing inside of you, and the little one depends on you. It depends on how healthy you are. Does somebody hear me this morning? So this is a tricky issue. What you do in the waiting can either kill the promise or keep the promise alive. I want that to sink into somebody's spirit right now. That what you do in the waiting will either kill the promises of God in your life or will keep them alive, and you see them, you lay hold of them. Many Christians are good at saying, "I receive, Pastor, I receive, I take it, I take it, I take it." But they are very lousy at waiting. Many people have taken promises, they've grasped them, and they've said, it is mine," but they've aborted the promise of God in the waiting time. We want to come to a place of understanding what it looks like when we are in the waiting. You see, when we talk about the waiting, you can never be too ready you can never be too ready or too prepared for the waiting. Because guess what? The way you waited for a promise 5 years ago will not be exactly the same way you will wait now in the promise that God has given you. The best you can do is to learn the principles that will work in any situation and circumstance of waiting. The Bible teaches us principles that we need to live by during the waiting. The waiting was never meant to be a disastrous moment for the church. We are waiting for the coming back of Jesus Christ. From the time that Jesus rose from the dead, the coming of Jesus was imminent. And it says soon and very soon, he is coming back. And 2,000 years down the road, we are still waiting for Jesus. And I want you to know that Jesus is not coming back for a weak church. He is coming back for a victorious church. And therefore, the church needs to understand the waiting principle. The church needs to know to wait appropriately. If you do not know how to wait, the master will come when you are not ready for him. And this morning, I want to pose this question to you. Are you ready for the coming of Jesus? If the trumpet goes off right now, are we going to meet him in the clouds? Or some of us will stay behind in the waiting? This is very important for every child of God to understand. In the waiting, there are things that you ought to do in the waiting in order to lay hold of the promises of God. Hallelujah. Two people come to mind in the Bible. The Bible is full of people who waited. But two people who come to mind for me is Abram and David. Abram and David found themselves in the waiting. And their story lives teach us how we can live our lives victoriously in the waiting. Hallelujah. Do you know that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed? And the New Testament, it is the Old Testament revealed. What that means is that whatever was happening in the Old Testament, the stories of people were there to teach us how to live a victorious life in the new dispensation. So we'll do well if we glean into the lives of people who are able to live well in their moment of waiting for you and I to become all that God has called us to be. I mean, when you look at David, from the day that he received the kingly anointing, from the time that David received the kingly anointing, remember when the prophet Samuel came in and he anointed him as king, he was around 15, 16, thereabout. But he only got onto the throne another 15, 16 years down the road, around the age of 30. That is when David was anointed king over Judah. 15 years. Am I prepared to wait for 15 years? Are you prepared to wait for 15 years? When I think of Abram, he got the promise of God, and 25 years down the road, there was no child. And then, lo and behold, the word was fulfilled. 25 years. Abraham in the waiting will tell you and teach you so many lessons. And we're going to walk with these two great men. We're going to ask them questions and say, Father Abraham, tell us, how did you wait? How were you able to wait for 25 years? How did you survive the ups and the downs of the 25 years? Because when you receive a promise from God, you receive ups and downs. And you've got to weather the ups and downs and the storms and the winds that will come your way for you to be able to lay hold of the promises of God. I want to say to you this morning, the promises of God will prompt something more bigger in your life than you ever imagined. You see, Abraham was okay. By human standards, Abraham was doing well in the land of the Chaldeans. He was doing great, he was doing fine. He thought everything was fine until God appeared to him. Abraham was okay until the Lord came and he messed up his life. What seemed to be okay was no longer okay. You see, until you are face to face with the blessing of God, until you are face to face with the promises of God, you will think life cannot get better. This morning, I want to say to you right now, no matter what you're experiencing now, when the promises of God come into your life, what you think is good right now, you realize that it was child's play. Because when God comes into your life and he blesses you good, you will look at your life and say, look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. The blessings of the Lord make rich and they add no sorrow. And right now, you might be going through a dire strait right now. Maybe the finances are very slim. Maybe health is waning in your life. I want you to know the promises of God will turn around that situation for his glory. So the blessings of God will change your concept of a good life. Because I said, by human standards, Abraham was okay until God came and God spoke to Abraham. Look at this. Genesis 12, verse 1. The Bible says, and Jehovah said to Abram, go out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. Into a land that I will show you. I want you to realize that God came and messed around with the life of Abram. I want you to know God was saying to Abraham, there is a greater blessing in store for you. I'm going to give you land. And I want you to know that land is a great blessing. Because land is one of those things that you're able to easily pass on to the next generation. Land is one of those things that when you own, you've got the material you need to produce wealth. And God was saying, there is a piece of land that is for you and for other generations to come. You see, the blessing of God, the promises of God will take you out of your comfort zone. Abraham was comfortable. Abraham was okay until God came and said, I want to bless you. I want to turn around your life. And right now, I want to speak something into your spirit man that there is a blessing of God for you in the taking. Hallelujah. Don't look at the COVID situation right now and lose sight of the greatness of God. Because when God comes, he turns around your mourning into dancing. He turns your shame into glory. Hallelujah. That is what our God does. It's okay to talk about the blessing of God because God wants to bless us. He wants to do us good. Hallelujah. So, when God comes and he promises you something, when God comes and gives you a word, what it does, it takes you out of your comfort zone. What seems to be a routine and what you are used to is interrupted by the promises of God. Now, the issue is if you're okay with your routine, if you're okay with your comfort zone, maybe you're not ready for the blessing of God of your life. Because when God blesses you, your comfort zone goes out of the window. It says the comfort zone and the blessing of God cannot reside in the same place. I want to repeat that. The blessing of God and your comfort cannot reside in the same place. Because when God comes, he pushes you out. And he says, walk on water. Hallelujah. call things which are not as if they are. That is what the blessing of God does in our lives. I remember when God started pressing on our hearts to plant a church. We've been pastors for a long time. We've been pastoring for probably 15 years, 14 years. And we knew at some point there will be that moment. There will be that moment of going out and doing a work for the Lord. And a couple of years ago, that moment came. And boy, oh boy, God kicked us out of our comfort zone. Our routine changed. Everything about our life changed. We were apprehending the blessing of God. But what it also did, it changed everything about our lives. Our routine changed. What was comfortable, God broke out that comfort zone and plunged us into something that was strange. Yet that was the blessing of God for us. So the promises of God are so amazing. But when they come, they force you to come out of your comfort zone. And Abraham was told by God, you've got to leave your parents. You've got to leave what you're used to. You see, your comfort zone doesn't require faith. Your comfort zone doesn't require you to go on your knees and trust God for the next meal. No. But when God plunges you out and says, I want you to start a new business. You see, the comfort of having a salary coming every single month is out of the window. Now you are trusting God that he will make a way for you. That's the adventure that is attached to the blessing of God. You see, the blessing of God can only be apprehended by those who walk by faith and not by sight. Now, look at what was at stake here. When God started blessing Abraham. In verse 2, God says, and I will make you a great nation. I will make you a great nation. From an unknown quantity, unknown, no-name brand, to a great nation. This is what God was saying. And the stakes were high. You see, when God blesses you, when God sends you out to do his work to show forth his glory, the stakes are high. Hallelujah. He says, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. The Lord wants to bless you so much that everybody around you can be blessed through you. Verse 3, and I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curses you. And in you shall all families, not some, all families of the earth be blessed. The Lord was not playing games with Abram. He was saying, yeah, this is massive, Abram, and this is going to change your life. The blessing of the Lord will make you look at your past and think, what was I doing? Because it changes everything about you. Now, when God blesses you, he has nations and generations in mind. The Lord wants to do you good, not just for your selfish fulfillment. He wants to bless you so that the blessing over your life ripples over to nations, ripples over to the next generation. And this is the thinking that God wants us to have as believers, that whatever he does in our lives, it has to go beyond us. Hallelujah. You see, when God blesses you, everyone around you will know it. When God touches you, everybody around you will acknowledge that this is God. Why am I saying this? In just two verses, God says three times, I will make you. I will bless you. I will bless you. You see, the blessings of God takes God to make them happen in your life. I want God to make me. I don't want men to make me. I want God to make me. I want God to fashion me into the instrument he wants me to be. Hallelujah. So, it is so profound to see that God was saying to Abraham, this has nothing to do with you. It is I who will do this great work in your life. It is I who will make you. And I want you to know this morning that when the Lord has decided to bless you, no one can stop it, because he will not ask for permission from your neighbors. Does somebody hear me this morning? God will not ask for permission when he decides to bless you and to do you good. And this is the heart of God for you. You need to know that when he does it in such a way that people around you will know that this was the working of God. And whenever I pray, I say, Lord, do this to such an extent that it is not mistaken for any other person's work. Lord, do this work in my life to an extent that people around me can only say, this ought to have been God. This man could not have done it by himself. And saints, I have seen God doing things that when I look back, I cannot take credit because it is bigger than me. It will be bigger than you. Hallelujah. Now, every promise demands an appropriate response from you. Every promise demands an appropriate response from you. This is the thing. The Lord will make you, but the Lord will not force you to respond to the promise. It is for God to promise, but it is for you to respond. Now, my question to somebody today is, how have you responded to God's promises over your life? How have you responded to God's promises over your life? You see, your response has to go beyond head knowledge. A lot of people know that they need to respond to the promises of God, but it has to translate into relevant action. If the Lord has told you that I have anointed you with an entrepreneurial anointing, that anointing will remain on you and you'll not see its fruit until you rise up and you do something with your hands. That anointing will remain untapped until you rise up and you do something. This is the question. How have you responded to God's anointing, to God's promise over your life? You see, for Abraham, one of the relevant actions was to leave his comfort zone. Abraham was told by God, I know you are comfortable. I know you love your mama. I know you love your mama, but I want you to leave. I want you to go into the land. And the Bible says here, and Abram departed as Jehovah had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. You see, we are not told how long it took between receiving the promise and leaving Haran. But what we know, verse 4, immediately says, and Abram left. You've got to leave. Right now, I say to you, leave your comfort zones. Right now, rise up and do an action that is in line with the promises of God. Some of you need to rise up and leave that laziness of not spending time in prayer. I want you to know that prayer will quicken the promises of God into becoming a reality in your life. Glory be to God. Leave your friends and move into the promises of God. Leave your past behind and step into the promises of God. It is for you to respond. It is for God to promise. I want to say that again. It is your responsibility to respond to the promises of God, and it is for God to make it a reality in your life. Hallelujah. So when God gives you a promise, more often than not, we do not have the privilege of knowing the timelines of those promises. When God blesses you with a promise, unless it is so definite, because in the Bible, from time to time, we'd hear God coming in and say, next year, this time, you shall be with child. Hello? You remember when Isaac finally came, it was a definite one. God said, next year, this time, you shall have a child. Now, it's rare to have all those promises where it is timely. I know sometimes we go to these environments where they'll tell you that in 3 years' time, this is what's going to happen to you. But by and large, when God gives you a promise, we do not have a time frame that can enable us to understand that this is going to happen tomorrow. We are told Abraham was 75 years old. That is the only time we're given here. And when God gave him a promise to become a father of many nations, God did not tell him and say, you know what, Abram? You're going to have to wait 25 years for you to see the child. You know, God knows that if he is to tell us the amount of years we're going to wait for us to see his promises, some of us would refuse the promise. Some of us would say, not for me, let it pass me. Hello? So Abraham was given a promise at 75 years. God did not tell him that, my boy, you're going to have to wait. Again, what I like, the promise of God has nothing to do with age. Maybe you're watching me now and you're saying, Pastor, I am old. I'm 65. How can God give me a promise? Well, here it is, 75 years. God was challenging Abraham to leave his inheritance, to leave his mother, to leave his comfort zone. You know what? At 75, you are stuck in your ways. You don't want to move from your place. I mean, I've got a mom who is around 65, 66, around there. She does not want to leave her place. No. She'll say, no, I was left here by my husband and I'm going to die here. You see, so at a certain age, you are so stuck in your ways that it will take a move of God for you to abandon everything and embrace a new agenda. But it doesn't disqualify you. Hallelujah. Maybe you're saying, I'm too young to receive the promises of God. No. You're not too young. The Bible tells us that the young boy Samuel, around the age of 7, heard God speaking to him and telling him these massive, massive words of prophecy around the nation. And God was telling Samuel that, I don't care whether you're 7 years or what. I want you to rise up and tell my people, this is what the Lord says. I'm talking about being open to receive the promises of God. Now, receiving God's promises kicks into motion the waiting process. You need to hear this good. Where if you are that person like, God, give me a word, give me a promise. When you say, give me a promise, you're also saying, give me that opportunity to wait on you. The promises of God, receiving the promise of God, will prompt the waiting process. Why am I saying this? The moment a word is released, that word is for sure. That word will not go back to God empty. That word will prosper in whatsoever God has intended it to achieve on this earth. So if you are a recipient of a prophetic word, if you are a recipient of the word of God, you've gone into the Bible and the Lord impresses over your heart a word, I want you to know that word is good to bank. That word will perform, that word will prosper, that word will turn around your life until it becomes a reality. Glory be to God. The issue is, are you up for the wait? Are you up for the wait, waiting for the promise of God to be fulfilled in your life? You see, the problem is not with the promise. The problem is with the recipient of the promise. The problem is not with the word. The problem is with me. Do I have the capacity? Do I know how to carry myself around this whole issue of the promises of God? Do I understand what it takes for me to apprehend the promise of God for myself? Glory be to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was proclaimed among you by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no. You see, when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to the promises of God, it's not a wishy-washy. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. That's not the kind of God we serve. Hallelujah. He says here, but in him, it has always been yes. It has always been yes. For all the promises of God are yes in Christ. All the promises of God are yes in Christ. So when God releases a word over your life, that word will not fall to the ground. That word will not come back to God empty-handed. That word is powerful. That word is active. That word is like a sword. It is effective in its working, and it will produce results. The parable of the sower. Jesus speaks of the heart, and he says there, a sower went and he sowed seed. He scattered seed, and some seed fell on the wayside. Some seed fell on thorny ground. Some seed fell on rocky ground. And some seed fell on good ground. And the one that fell on good ground, the Bible says it produced fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. I want you to understand that when the word of God finds the right environment, the word will flourish. The word will produce fruit. My question for you and me right now is, are you ripe? Are you fertile for the seed to produce? For the seed to produce the yield it is meant to produce. It might produce 30-fold because that is what it was destined to produce. It might produce 60 because that is what it was destined to produce. But the issue of production, it is not a question. It will produce what it has been sent to do in your life. And here Paul is saying, yeah, the promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ. I want to stir up some faith in somebody right now, and you are discouraged, you are downcast, you are walking down with your head bowed down as this. But this morning, I want you to know that the promises of God are yes and amen. He does not recall his word. When it comes out of his mouth, that word will prosper. The question is, are you ready for the waiting? Are you ready for the pressing? Are you ready for the shaking? Are you ready for a sifting that will take place because of the word? Even Jesus speaks about this, that there will be a sifting that takes place in your life on account of the word you have received. Some of you are going through tests right now, not because you have done anything wrong, but because of the word you are containing in your spirit man. Don't give up, because the word will prosper. Glory be to God. For all the promises of God are yes in Christ. And so, through him, our amen is spoken to the glory of God. Amen to God. Amen to God. To the glory of God. As we agree, as we confess the word of God, we wait on it patiently. There's a place where Paul says, as a farmer who goes out and puts seed on the ground, this farmer will wait patiently until that seed germinates, until that crop grows and produces much harvest. If you've got a word, wait patiently on it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers fall, like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. Repeat after me right now. Say, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Say that again. But the word of the Lord stands forever. That's a confession that somebody needs to get into their spirit man right now. For the word of the Lord stands forever. Are you prepared to stand until the word is fulfilled in your life? And this is the word that was proclaimed to you. And this is the word I am proclaiming to you right now. That the word of God stands forever. It is not like flower that falls away with the blowing of wind. The word of God stands forever. Listen to me. Partakers of the promises of God know how to behave in the waiting. In the waiting. In the crushing, he's doing a new thing. He's releasing new wine. He's doing something profound in the waiting. And right now, the Lord is saying to you, it is not in vain that you are waiting. I'm fashioning you into an instrument that is effective for my glory. Partakers of the promises of God know how to behave in the waiting. Abraham knew how to survive in the waiting. That is why he earned the right to be called the father of faith. The Bible says, have the faith of Father Abraham. Have the faith of Father Abraham. What happened here? He survived the waiting and he earned the right to be called the father of faith. And today we are called children of Father Abraham. We are called to have the faith of Abraham. It is a tricky thing to survive in the waiting. And anyone who has survived the waiting will come out of it differently. The waiting will change you. The waiting will transform you. There's a transformation that takes place in the waiting. And it is important for you to benefit from the waiting. Maybe you are in the waiting and you are out of your depth right now. And it's okay. You are not alone. Father Abraham survived the waiting. And he can teach us how to live through our waiting. Now, as I conclude today's message, as an introduction to this series of In the Waiting, we have to ask ourselves a number of questions around this matter. These are the questions. What is the purpose of the waiting? Is there a purpose to this waiting? Why doesn't it just happen at the click of our finger sometimes? Sometimes it does. And that's how God works in our lives. Is God present in the waiting? You're asking that question right now because it has been hard. And you're saying, Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you? We need to deal with this. What happens in the waiting? What happens in the waiting? What is expecting of me in the waiting? What are the expectations of heaven in my life during the waiting? And the last one is the waiting for everyone and for every promise? So God wants to minister to us in this season, preparing us and teaching us, encouraging us to live through the waiting, so that when we come out of the waiting, we are ready to do the bidding of the word. We are ready to embrace the promises of God. So saints, this is the journey that we're going to go on. And I want you to tune in, week out, as the Lord ministers and speaks to us on this title, In the Waiting. I want to pray for someone today who's been in the waiting. You're already in the waiting and it has been rough. It has not been easy. I want to speak strength to you. I want to speak courage to you. And I remind you of Psalm 27, where David says, I would have been discouraged had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Mourning might endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Shall I pray for you right now? Father of glory, I pray right now for somebody who is in trouble because of this waiting, Lord. Lord, I thank you because your word tells us that all things work together for our good. I pray that in your own wisdom, in your own providence, make a way for them and make them to understand that you are with them. You promise them never to leave them, never to forsake them. Right now, I speak a grace of God over each one of your children right now. I pray that your grace would be sufficient for them in this season. And so, Lord, as we go through this series, I pray that you prepare the church. I pray that you prepare individuals. I pray that you encourage people right now to go through their waiting season. So, Father, we give you glory and we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. So thank you so much for watching today. And I'm sure the Lord has started a journey with you and he will continue until it is perfected. So join us again next week, same time, same channel. And please share our YouTube channel with your friends, with your enemies, with your family, and they will be blessed. And God bless you. Amen.